1 Corinthians 9 and 22. Can I tell you tonight, the messages that we've been hearing lately, Brother Dale, Brother Dustin, these are very, very good messages. Good, good messages. And while he was preaching this morning, while Brother Dustin was speaking, they were saying things that pertained to my sermon, and I kept thinking, oh, they're preaching my message. But you know, I've said that before, but then I got to thinking, it's not something to worry about. It's confirmation from God. I tell you what, I have the Word of God tonight. Anybody ready to be preached to tonight? I said, anybody ready to be preached to tonight? Praise God. I've been working on this message since about May or June of last year. I'm not sure exactly when, but it's been that long. I've been told, well, you've already preached since then. Oh yeah, I preached since then. I preached some messages that God has given me. One would be want more, bring more. Another one is why sit here, we here unless or till we die. Another one would be not for sale. God's given me some messages along the way, but He would not let me preach this. But when Brother Parker told me I was preaching, this is the message God said, now is the time. Now is the time. Praise God. Now is the time for us to get ready for some real moves of God in this place. We're getting pumped and primed. If you think the revivals we've seen here is all that the best we're gonna get, you're missing out. You're missing the point. God's getting us prepared for some great moves of God in the house of God. I'm looking to be ready. How about you tonight? How about you tonight? Are you looking to be ready for some real moves of God like you've never seen before? Praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm going to take your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22. Praise God. It says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And I do this, I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown, an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Praise God. You know, Brother Dale was preaching this morning, and the one thing that this message is pushing out is that it's going to take some work. This living for God, it's going to take some work. Us to see some revivals that are coming, it's going to take some work. Us to see some souls that are going to be saved, it's going to take some work. There's going to be some things that we have to do. It's going to take some work. So I bring you back to the 26th verse where it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air and end it with, lest I myself should be a castaway. That is where I'm bringing you today. And the message, the title of this message, if it were to be titled, would be titled Relentless. Somebody say relentless. Relentless. Come on, somebody say relentless. Relentless. If you want your blessing, you're going to have to be relentless. Come on, somebody shout relentless. Relentless. It's time for us to be relentless in the house of God if we want to see some moves of God personally and as a church and as the apostolic movement. Come on, everybody give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus in your name. My God, I pray that you bless the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Praise God. I'm going to turn it down just a notch, but I don't want you to lose. I don't want you to lose me. Don't lose the spirit that you've held on to. I know exactly where I'm going, and this is what God has given to me. Again, you will receive the word of the Lord, for I know this is what He has given me. I'm bringing I read a book, which is where this message came about. While I was reading this book, it smote me in my heart and made me evaluate my personal life and my walk with God. This book was called The Ultra Marathon Man, Confessions of an All-Night Runner. This is a book that was written by the runner himself, Dean Karnazes. or Karnassus. If you've never heard of Dean Karnassus, it's one of the most motivating books I've ever read. Even if you are not an athlete or do any kind of strenuous workouts of any sort that you need motivation for, this is a great read. It's just a really, really good read. I read the book just to find out what drove him, what motivated, what moved this man or pushed this man. Dean Karnassus, to qualify who he is and why I'm bringing him to your attention tonight. Dean Karnassus is the only one that has ever run 50 marathons in 50 consecutive days, day after day after day, running 50 marathons. For those of you that don't know, 26.2 miles is the distance of a marathon, and he ran 50 of them in 50 straight days. He's also the man they call the ultra marathon man because he runs runs ultra marathons every year. What is an ultra marathon? An ultra marathon is that of 100 miles, and it's not just 100 straight miles, but this is miles of going up mountains and down into valleys, up and down, some of the worst terrain, some of the worst conditions, but they run it anyway. There was a time he ran through one and it was beating him and beating him and beating him, but he said he was going to finish the race, and he did. Just before the end, there was a creek that he had to run through and come for some medical attention before the finish line. They all had to. When he came to the end, or when he came to the medical staff, he ran through the creek and came up there and said, "Sir, doctor, while you look at my feet, can you please take off my sock? I feel like I've got a seashell in my sock." When they pulled off his sock, he said, "Sir, this is not a seashell, but this is your large toenail." I'm telling you about some serious, serious, aggressive running this man has endured. And then the other part is he's also ran 200 miles, and as he ran the 200 miles, he ended it with a marathon. Yes, he's ran 200 miles straight without stopping. The 200 miles again ended with a marathon. He timed it just right to make it to the marathon, to the starting of that marathon that day, and finish out the race. And then the other one that would qualify him is he is the only man to ever have been known to run 350 miles straight without stopping. This is a man that ran 350 miles without sleep. They asked him if he slept at all. He said, "Well, I fell asleep while I was running." And they said, "Well, how do you know that?" He said, "While I was running, I woke up. I'm in the middle of the road and I'm still running. Moved over to the side of the road and fell asleep again. Woke up, he was in the middle of the road again and moved over. Last time he fell asleep." But 80 hours and 44 grueling minutes that this man had endured to finish a 350-mile run. I want to bring your attention back to the 200-mile run that I mentioned. The 200-mile run. Do we have any water anywhere? 200-mile run that he endured. The reason he ran this race, at the end of the race, there was a marathon, and he timed it just right. I'm sorry, I'm sort of getting ahead of myself. I apologize. During this run, he runs from Calistoga all the way to Santa Cruz, California, 200 miles in length, in distance. And when he began the run, he ran through a particular city, 3.5 hours, almost 4 hours into the run. He gets to a certain city and remembers there's a pizza parlor, one of his favorites, called the Round Table. And while he's running, he's getting hungry. Obviously, he's burning energy and he needs fuel to continue the race. It's only 3.5 hours into this run and he's going 200 miles. So far, he's probably only gone, I don't know, maybe the distance of a marathon. But at this point, he looks at his cell phone and sees he's got a little bit of reception. So he decides he'll go ahead and call the Round Table. He calls the Round Table Buffet or Round Table Pizza, and they say, "Hello, Round Table." And he says, and a young man answers the phone and he says, "Sir, I want to order a pizza." And he goes, "What? Did you say you want a pizza?" Loud rock and roll music blaring in the background. He said, Why else would I call a pizza place?" But while he calls the pizza place, he says, "Yes, I need pizza. I need pizza." And the guy says, "You don't need to shout. I'll get you a pizza." He goes, "Well, I'm sorry." He goes, "Nothing to be sorry about. I know how sensitive people can get about their pizza." He says, "No, sir, I'm not sensitive. I'm just very hungry." He says, "That's great. Just know we're going to give you the greatest grinds imaginable." And he says, "What will it be?" He says, "Sir, I would like to get the Hawaiian pizza. I want to get extra toppings. I want to get the extra pineapples, extra cheese, extra everything. He says, extra everything on a Hawaiian pizza. That sounds great. What size do you want? He says, how many does a large feed? He says, about 5 people. How many in your party? He says, no, I'll take the large, but it's just me. He says, man, I can't believe that. You're working on some kind of hunger. And he thought, only if he could imagine. And as he ordered that, he said, do you have any dessert? He said, well, we've got cheesecake. I tried some earlier. Would you like some? He says, yeah, I'll take one. He says, one slice. He said, no, I want the whole cheesecake. So he said, okay, I'll put that in addition to your order. And he's asking him, why are you so hungry? He says, I'll have to get back to you on that. He says, do you have any, is there a Starbucks in the area? And he says, no, sir, the Starbucks is closed about this time. But I've got my own private stash. I'll brew you up some. And he says, great. And he goes, okay, what's your address? He said, no, sir, I'm going to, how long will it take? He said, well, are you in some kind of hurry? He says, no, I just need to know where I'm going to be about that time. He said, okay, about 20, 25 minutes, I'll meet you there. And he said, 20, 25 minutes, I'll meet you at 115th and Main. He said, okay, what color's your car? He says, no, sir, I'm not driving a car, but it's not going to be hard to find me. I'm the only one out here in the middle of the night running. He said, and there was a pause and a silence there for a moment. He said, is someone chasing you? He said, no, sir, I'm just hungry. Come on out and we'll talk about it. He brings out the pizza. While he's running in the middle of the night, he's waiting, and he thought, you know, it's going to give me deliberating cramps if I have to stand there and wait on this man. But the young man with the pizza came over the hill, and he was driving a rusted old pickup truck with oversized wheels, and drove up next to him, rolled the window down, and said, I can't believe it. You're really out here running in the middle of the night. He said, yes, sir, and I'm very hungry. So he gives the man his order, and he takes his pizza, pays the man, and the man turns around and leaves. This man, while he's running, is consuming as much as he can of this pizza, devours the whole entire thing, because this is something he's done over and over and over again. And he's carrying this pizza as he's running. When he's done with the pizza, he then eats his cheesecake, discards the trash, puts his head down, and plows into the darkness of the night. And then again, he hears that same rusted old pickup truck coming down the road, and he thought, why is it coming back? And the young man comes back, rolls his window down, and sticks the coffee out, and says, sir, I forgot all about your coffee, but this is sometime later, and you're still running. He said, I can't believe this. This is unbelievable. Gives him his coffee, fills his thermos up, and pays the man again, and he said, sir, I've got just one question for you. I've told everybody back at the office about it, or back at the pizza shop, and everybody's got the same question that I have. Why are you doing this? And he goes, sir, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. He told the man earlier he's running down to the beach, and the man said, the beach, that's about 30 miles from here. He had no idea. He still had a remaining 150 or so miles left to go. But he said, I'll get back to you on that. The man turned around, and Dean watched the taillights of this pickup truck go over the crest of the hill and disappear, and put his head back down and run. And then he picked his head back up and thought, you know what? I'm going to ask myself the same question. Why? Why am I doing this? He then reaches back in his backpack and he pulls out a picture. He pulls out a picture of a young girl who's not even a year old yet. And the picture was taken while this little girl was laying in a hospital bed, tubes coming out everywhere. And he had looked at this little girl, and the girl's name is Libby Wood. And then he finally put that picture back and he thought, if I don't finish this run, Libby Wood will die. The reason he ran the run, he was doing a fundraiser for 200 miles. He was going to raise enough funds to make sure that this girl had the money and the funds to be able to get a heart transplant. And because he finished the race, the next day he got there on time, finished the marathon race, crossed the finish line. And as he crossed the finish line, they took pictures of him. His legs were swollen from 200 miles. And when he crossed the finish line, he reached out his hands because someone was handing him a little girl and handed him Libby Wood. And he looked down, looked at the mom, and the mom said, because of you, this girl lives today. And there's another picture that you look on the next page. Libby Wood is now 5 years old in the picture. She's able to live 5 years later because she was able to get a heart transplant. And this is where it birthed in my heart. I was thinking, what can I do to improve my life and my contribution to my church and what I'm doing? one. And please do not think I'm pinning any roses on me. I'm not doing that at all. But it is for the experience that I'm preaching this message. But it was birthed in my heart. I said, I've got to do something. And I began to think of our children. And I began to think of our young people. And I said, I know what I can do. I can raise some funds to be able to help these young people have the revival they're looking for. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again. Because I have a why. I have a purpose. And I'm going to be relentless about the purpose that is in my heart. We have young people, and they're worth it all. Jesus' name. Please be seated. And I thought about these young men, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and put this run together. I talked with Brother Parker about it. Sure, go ahead, brother. We could use all the help we can get. Absolutely. I decided I'm going to go ahead and start training for this. I only had a few weeks to train that I was able to train for it. But I had done some... I had a challenge of a weight loss challenge that I had went on at that time, and it got me down to about 180 pounds. And at that time, I was real light on my feet and able to train for that. And I trained real hard and real vigorous. I actually hired a personal trainer out of Canada who corresponded with me by email and by phone on how to make sure that I can accomplish 10 miles. And when I started putting this fundraiser together, there were people along the way, Brother Dustin, that said, if you can double the miles, I'll pay you double the amount I've promised. And I said, done. That sounds good. I'll make sure I do it. 20 miles. I called my personal trainer up. I said, look, I'm going 20 miles instead of 10. Can I do it? Absolutely. We've just got to get a little more aggressive with your training. And I'm telling you now, it hurt. It was rough. You can ask my wife. I complained often about the condition of my feet. But then I kept thinking about them. It's worth it. 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 So then I began to train, and I began to vigorously train and eat the right kind of diet. And somebody asked me on the run, how much weight did you lose? I lost 8 pounds on the day that I ran 20 miles, but it was worth it all. While I was running that run, I was running from Basser, Kansas, all the way down to K-10 Highway, and the distance of where I started from to there is exactly 20 miles. Along the run, I'm about 7 miles into it, and April's at one of my pit stops to hand me water. I appreciate my wife. I've got a good wife. Many of y'all can tell she's been given some good testimonies because God's blessed that woman. And she's blessed me in the process. I'm telling you, she's a good, good helpmeet for this man right here. And she stops and she hands me water and she hands me my protein bar and I put it in my pouch. And yes, I wore one of those funny looking pouches along the way. But I went ahead and wore that pouch and carried my water in it and ran. And I got about 10 miles into it and I'm thinking, man, I feel great. This is wonderful. I'm talking to Brother Joe on the phone, and I said, hey, man, I'm in the middle of my run right now. I feel great. Brother Brian and I talk on the phone. He says, I'm praying for you. I said, man, hey, I feel great. Well, they let me go so I can finish my run. I was out of breath on the phone, but, you know, I'm still going to keep on running. I get about 13 miles in it, and at this point, I've gotten hungry. So I reach in my pack, and I pull out my protein bar, and I consume it. And about 16 miles later, at this point, I've already consumed that protein bar. I'm sure I've already expired the energy that I would receive from it. It only had about 190 calories. And in about 2 miles, you burn well over 200 when you're running the way that I was running. And, at that point, I'm getting very hungry. My body starts getting tired. My legs start getting tired. And I begin to think, I'm 16 miles into it. And, I'm not sure that I can finish this. The longest I've gone before, Brother Dale, was 9.5 miles. How in the world? I've already gone 6.5 miles over. How can I finish this run? And when I thought about it, I began to think of these young people, and I thought, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. So I picked my knees up, and I kept kicking the ground, and I kept going, and I kept kicking the dust up, and I decided I'd go ahead and finish this race. I started picking up memorabilia along the way. I found a wrench. I found a pocket knife, and putting these things in my pouch, found an undergarment, and left that on the roadside, and I just kept on charging, praise God. And as I was running, I got about to the 18th mile mark, and at this point, Brother Dustin, I'm about to lose it all. I'm thinking, I can't handle this. My feet are hurting just like they've had before. I had an uncle who was a runner. I had cousins and so on and so forth who gave me their experiences. And my uncle had collapsed the arches in his feet. And I've hereditarily, I got the same arches. They're very strong and very curved, very tall arches. And I had to have a certain amount of support. And I could only afford the certain support that I had at that time. And it wasn't very much. But I said, I'm going to keep on running. And when I got to that 18th mark, I thought, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. I don't know if I can go any further, but I decided I'd go ahead and push the distance because then I began to think about the young people even more, and I got to thinking, man, it's just worth it. I know I can take it. If I can just cross that finish line, there will be more that I can contribute to these young people, not just because I'd be able to raise the funds, but because I know that I'm dedicated to these young people, and I'm dedicated to this church, and I'm dedicated to our future, and I'm dedicated to our message. So I continued to push, and I got to the 19th mark, and at this point, I'm not going to lie to you, at this point, I was going to decide, I'm going to tell everybody that was going to give me the funds, I just couldn't handle it, I'm sorry, there's no way that I can do it. And I started to slow down, and the moment I did, my heart started, I started feeling the pain in my heart, not from the run, but that smoke, that conviction that God put on my heart that says He would put no more on you than you can bear, and that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. These scriptures started coming to my mind, and then I began to start thinking about the young people, but this time it wasn't just their faces. This time I began to see them in the altars worshiping and shouting and praising God, and I thought, there is going to be a day that this happens, and this run is for that day. And I kept pushing, and I said, no matter what, this is where it's time to be relentless. This is time where I gotta just depend on all heart and finish this run. And I pushed and pushed and pushed, and at that point, I'm telling you, my feet were hitting the ground like bricks. I felt like they were starting to break away, and I could see my wife's taillights off in the distance. I told her to be about a quarter of a mile away from the finish line so I could walk out the rest of the run. I could feel the pain throbbing through my body. My back is stiff at this point. I'm tightened all over. My arms are tired because I'm trying to hold them up like this. I'd already lost the bag some time ago. I had to get rid of it so I could loosen up so I could feel a little lighter on my run. And I kept pushing and I kept pushing. And then I get to the last part of the 20th mile, and I'm looking up at the hill, and I realize I got to go up to finish. I got to cross the finish line, but I wasn't going to give up. I wasn't going to give up, brother love. I had a reason. I had a why. And I was going to be relentless about my why. And then I finally crossed over the finish line. And as immediately as I crossed that finish line, I went into a walk. But can I tell you, it was hurting so bad that my run was about as fast as my walk was. I was going just about like this and turned it into this. I had to cross that finish line. And once I crossed that finish line, I felt a sense of accomplishment. Because now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have a why, that I'm living the way that I do, that I'm dressing the part, that I'm shouting in these altars. And these young people right here have a reason to come to the house of God and worship, because somebody is living it in front of them. Oh, come on, somebody. God's looking for some relentless apostolics in this day and age that's going to live the part, dress the part. It's not time to let up, give up, or back up. It's time to light it on fire. Be seated one more time. Hallelujah. I had a reason and I did it. Can I tell you that in that experience, again, not pinning roses, this is an experience that I'll never forget. And I had to share it as a testimony that while I was going through that, all I could think about is how many things have we gone through that we think we're going through the toughest thing in our life. But if you would just imagine the finish line isn't that far away, and the accomplishment is going to be worth it all if you push. Just remember the scripture, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. These are scriptures. Brother Parker said, hey, paste this on your mirror, paste this on your Bible, wherever you're at, when you can walk by and you can see that scripture, let it be a reminder to you that the Bible is filled with God's promises, and God doesn't let up on His promises. If He's not going to give up, then I'm not going to give up either. And God is relentless about blessing His children. So it's time we're relentless about blessing our God. Oh, come on, somebody. If you have a need, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Somebody say relentless. Somebody say relentless. Somebody say relentless. Okay, well, let me qualify that word, because this is where I'm going to flip my ears back and preach. When it says, I will do anything you ask in my name and I will do it. Let me phrase that right. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Can you, Brother Chad, look at God right now and say the same thing back to Him? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Come on, saints of God. Are you looking at God and saying, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Come on, somebody. God is looking for some relentless apostolics. There are people out there that are dying and going to hell. And if you can have a picture to look at every day and notice they're going to die and go to hell, if you and I don't do something about it, and we're not going to reach them unless we're relentless about what we believe. Oh, come on, somebody. Can you ask Him if He asked anything in my name? I will do it. Come on, somebody. When you wake up in the morning, do you think about how can I please God today? And then when you go home and you lay your head down on your pillow, can you ask yourself, if I can look back on the rest of this day, do I know for a fact that I did everything I can today to please the Master? If you can't answer the question and say yes, that I can do anything, then you haven't adopted the attitude of being relentless. And now is time that we lay our head on our pillow and say, I've talked to some people. I've reached out. I'm looking for souls. I've shouted with my young people. I went to church. I'm worshiping. I'm dressing the part. And I'm living the life. Oh, come on, somebody. Jesus said to the deaf and dumb spirit, He said, deaf and dumb spirit, I charge you, come out of thee and return into him no more. And then Jesus, the spirit cried and the man died. Jesus picked him up and he arose and he sent him on his way. And the disciples said, how come we weren't able to do the same thing? And Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Praise God. You've got to be relentless in your prayer life. You've got to be relentless in your fast. You got to do what it takes to be a child of God before you can reach out and help somebody else. Hallelujah. You got to be relentless in your prayer closet. You got to be relentless in your worship. Let me tell you about an experience that I have personally. I had this. I went out and preached for Brother Ogle, and I preached that message, not for sale. And there's a young man about my son's age, about Austin's age, that has come to me 3 times since that message in different services and said, Brother Beach, I just want you to know I still haven't forgot your message. Not for sale. And he quotes it to me every time. Not for sale. Can I ask you, saints of God, what if he met me in a Walmart and I wasn't living the part and I wasn't dressed the part and I was doing a charismatic thing? Can I ask you tonight, would he still be living for God? No, but it's us being relentless in what we believe, Brother Brian, that brings saints of God to the house of God to see what we have. Oh, come on, somebody. Why don't you praise the Lord for the blessings in your life? Oh, come on, somebody, give a praise. God isn't done with this service. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name. It's time for some relentless apostolics to give us a program. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, shout relentless. Relentless. Come on, young people, relentless. Come on, louder than that, relentless. There's a reason why I'm still running today. And you guys are the spark and the reason for my running. Don't let me down. Worship God. Shout and praise God. And watch every problem and every trial you go through have a blessing at the end. These young people right here, these little ones that are coming up, they're our next generation apostolics. Can I tell you, if we're not relentless, they won't be relentless either. If we're lackadaisical, they'll be lackadaisical too. If we give over to a reprobate mind, they're going to give a reprobate mind. Oh, come on, somebody. We got to be relentless about this one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy-rolling message. Is there any relentless holy-rollers in the house of God tonight? Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. Jacob wouldn't have got his blessing if he didn't wrestle the angel with a relentless attitude.
Joseph wouldn't have been able to help the Israelites if he wasn't relentless about his situation. Job would not have been able to be blessed with twice as much as he had before if he wasn't relentless. David would not have defeated Goliath if he was not relentless. And come on, somebody, Elisha would never have been able to take up the mantle if he was not relentless to be able to get the mantle. Oh, come on. Somebody ain't even heard the message yet. What about the time that God was walking around heaven and had to stop? Because Cornelius put up a monument and a memorial before God that he couldn't get around. And he started telling the angels, go bless Cornelius. Come on, let's go bless Cornelius. You're looking for a blessing in your life? You better put a memorial up before God. Come on, somebody, it's time to get relentless as an apostolic saint of God. The blind beggar got his blessing because he was relentless. You remember the story? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, come on, somebody. Why don't you say it with me? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I bet the beggar was louder. Come on. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Woo! Let me tell you something. He was blessed because Jesus heard him, and he stuck out like a sore thumb in a crowd of people that was all around Jesus. They were able to come up and touch him. They were able to walk with him. But the beggar said, Jesus, I'm over here. And the beggar heard him. Come on, somebody. Are you in the middle of trouble? Are you in the middle of a trial, a situation? Are things coming down all around your world? Jesus, have mercy on me. You better get a relentless attitude if you want a blessing from God. Oh, come on, somebody. You gotta be relentless if you want a blessing from God. Go ahead and sit down. In order to be able to command the attention of God, you're gonna have to be relentless. That's the only way the beggar got the attention of God. It's the only way the beggar was able to stick out like a sore thumb in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Zacchaeus, and I'm coming to a close. Brother Phil, go ahead and come to the music. Why don't we go ahead and stand all over the building? I'm coming to a close. Zacchaeus, you remember the story. Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. Zacchaeus was a nobody going nowhere, didn't have a name, didn't have nothing to his name. But he climbed up in a tree. Why? Because everybody else was doing the same thing. They were all doing the same old thing, just walking around, wanting to see what was going on. But Zacchaeus was different. He said, I want to see the Master. I want to see him. I know he's coming by this way, and I'm going to make sure he sees me. Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree. Now, come on, somebody. You at your home, you're walking around your house, and you pray, and you don't seem to feel like you don't feel God. Well, let me tell you something. If you want God in your house, you're going to have to stick out like a sore thumb, just like Zacchaeus did. Because when Jesus passed by and seen Zacchaeus, he had plenty of people around that he could have asked that wasn't sinners and nobody's going nowhere. But he saw Zacchaeus had something else in his heart that everybody else did, and it was a different attitude. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come on, come down. I got to go to your house. Come on, somebody. You going to invite God into your house tonight? Are you going to invite God to come home with you tonight? Are you going to invite God to bless your children? Are you going to get that relentless attitude that in the middle of the night when your babies are looking up to mommy and daddy and saying, can you help me? I need help. And they're sick and they got a fever brow. Do you want to be able to lay your hands and put your hands on them and the fever break and God raise them up? You're going to have to be relentless about what you believe. Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, lest I myself should be a castaway. Come on, somebody, shout relentless. Come on, somebody, shout relentless. That's the attitude he's talking about. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's do it again. Relentless. 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 You can't stop a man that's relentless. A relentless man's hand cleaves to the sword. a relentless man to be able to knock down 1,000 Philistines with an ox goad. A relentless man. Oh. Will die on a cross for us. A relentless man will take 39 stripes for our salvation and for our healing. A relentless man will shed every drop of blood that he has for us. I'm telling you what, the most relentless man in the Bible, it's the one who fights, but it's the one who never gives up is the one that wins. The race is not to the swift nor to the strong. Oh, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's not to the swift, but it's those that it's going to endure to the end. It's the ones that just keep going. I did a little bit of math. You know, he ran those 350 miles in 4,844 minutes. That's a long time. That works out to about 13 minutes and 57 seconds per mile. That's slow. When the world record is 3 minutes and 43 seconds, 3 minutes, 43 seconds, and 13 one-hundredths. That's fast. The world record mile is just a little under 4 minutes. But he ran it in 13-minute miles. That was so slow. But he ran 350 of them. He ran it 14 minutes. Whew. Man, that other guy could have run 3 miles already. Oh, but he wouldn't have lasted 350. You know, what if Jesus would have given up after the second one? Man, that one didn't feel good. Or the first hair that got ripped out of his face. Or the first thorn that he felt prick his skin. God never gave up. God never stopped because he was relentless. And you know why God died for us? Oh, for our salvation. First of all, I'm not preaching, so I'll get back up here. But, second of all, he died as an example of the way we're supposed to live our life. So, we're supposed to endure. God said he won't put anything on us that we can't bear. We've got to endure hardness as a what? A good soldier. And what does a soldier do? He does what he's told. Because why? Because he's told to do it. He doesn't analyze it. He doesn't think about it. He knows what to do because he's already done it many times before in training. Brother James, I couldn't go run 20 miles. I couldn't do it because I haven't trained. But you know, he's only trained up to 9.5 miles, but he had been training. But whenever it was required for him to do the 20, you know what? I've been praying a lot, but I've never laid my hands on my child and God healed him. Oh, but since you have been praying, when it's necessary, you can lay your hands. You don't practice laying your hands. I mean, the first time you pray for your child and God doesn't heal them, you don't quit doing it. But the next time they're sick, you pray for them again. And the next time you're sick, you pray for them again. Because you're relentless. Because you know in whom you have believed and he's able. Oh! He's able to keep what I've committed into his hands against that day. Anything that I do, God remembers it. If I pray, they come up as a sweet smelling savor to God. Whenever I work for him, he puts it down. You know what? What I love is the way that God responds to us. If we give God a little bit, everything we have is just a little bit when it comes to God. God will never give back to us however much we gave him. You know that? That's God's law. God does not give us back what we give him. Because God's not going to owe anybody, and God's not going to be on the same level as anybody else. Okay? God is going to always have the advantage. You know what? The least amount he's going to give it to you 4 times back. Oh, that little worship we gave right there, we didn't give God doodads. Because God is doodads. All right? But you know what? He reached down and said, you know, I think I'm going to make him feel like he's never felt before. And just kind of pours out his vial of the anointing. His vial of the Spirit. Tell you what, if we're relentless about living for God, and if we're relentless about the anointing, when we know, you know what, it's so easy just to pray. So easy just to pray. But it's so hard for us to mentally get in our mind that there's a veil in between us and God. It's called the flesh. It is. There's a veil between us and God. And you know what? God can hear us through the veil. When we're praying, God can hear us. But if we want to step into the holiest of holies, we got to break through it. We got to grab it and we've got to tear it off. We got to be like the spider. When the spider wants to grow, it has to crawl out of that skin it's got. And when the snake wants to grow, it's going to crawl out of the skin that it has. And you can go find snake skins and you can find a whole spider husk. It looked like a real spider sitting there, but it's not. It's empty. Brother Daniel can attest to this. He had one. And it looks just like the spider. But you know what? I want people to find Dustin's, dead, empty shell Dustin's, laying all over the ground. Because you know what? He broke out. He's in a place, he's growing. Because his skin, his spiritual skin is still flexible. And it can still be molded, and it can still be grown. Because he has a desire to be more. And you know how they grow? You don't feed a spider, they won't grow. You don't feed a snake, they won't grow. But the more you feed them, the more you ingest of the power of God, the more you ingest of the Word of God, you gotta grow because that thing inside you is relentless and it's not happy where it's at. Oh, it's content in the place that it is. I'm content in this church. I'm not looking anywhere else, but I'm gonna put my roots deep and I'm gonna grow as tall as I can because I knew a man that was relentless. I never saw him face to face, but I read in my Word of God about his relentlessness. God, If it's okay with you, let this cup pass from me. But God, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. This flesh is weak, but the Spirit's willing. This flesh is weak, but the Spirit is so willing. Kids, there's no telling what you guys can be in the Spirit if you just worship. You don't have the understanding to be able to glean the Word of God in the depth that the adults can. Because God just didn't make you that way. But you can worship. And you can develop a prayer life. And you can understand what it is to fast. And you can understand what it is to take the Word of God that you can know. Ha ha. God's in this place and God's wanting to bless. I'm telling you what. Do we have anybody here that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, that wants the Holy Ghost? I don't think we do we? Man, I wish Sister Julie, Daniel, you don't. Well, you know what? Tonight is a perfect night. Oh, but it was on fire all the time. It was on fire all the time. You know, we're in a high service. We're not supposed to have an altar call. We're not supposed to bring it down. Oh, but God's in the place. God's in this place, so anything can happen. God's in this place. When you never give up, oh, you know, when you're running, there's a mixture of emotions that goes through your mind. Man, you feel that power before you're just going. But then after a while, man, you just get so humble because it hurts so bad. Just like prayer and just like fasting, there's that time where you're high. Then there's that time where you just want to fall on your knees before God. And we've had our high times in this service tonight. Brother Chad, you feel it. I see it all over you. I don't know what it is. But there's a burden in this place. It's on me. It's on some of you. And I see it in your face. And I don't know. Why don't we just lift up our hands right now and just touch God? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, touch us, God, renew us, Lord. God, I want to be relentless, Master. God, it's not always a fight, God, but it is, Master, determination. God, it is a fact that I will never give up, Lord. It is a fact, Jesus, that I know that you're real, that I know, God, that you're my Savior, Lord. God, the Word of God says, if God be for you, who can be against you? God, it also says that with God, nothing is impossible. It also says that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. God, there's so many scriptures, Lord, that show us, God, how to be relentless. That show us, God, how to reach out to you. God, we're wanting you to touch. God, we're wanting you to touch. We're wanting you to move in this house. God, bind us together with one another, Lord. But allow us, Master, to step through that veil. To reach through that veil, God, and just not allow you to hear us through it. But God, let you, Master, envelop us with your power, God, that we can be in a place to grow. Because God, we're not happy with where we're at, Lord. We want to grow, Master, to the heavens, God. We want to reach deeper in you, Lord. God, God, I thank you for this service. God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you for the power that there is in living for you, God. Oh God, the Word of God says, one of the writers says, that I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. But there's no greater joy. There's no greater joy for a church to have somebody get the Holy Ghost. Preached a message one time, and I think it was the simplest one I ever had. I just came to the, I didn't have a scripture. I didn't have anything. I tried to get a message. I just couldn't. But the only thing I had was a burden. And I walked up here and I said, you know, the only thing I can say is I just want somebody to get the Holy Ghost. I want to see somebody get the Holy Ghost. Oh, baptisms are absolutely wonderful. But whenever you see that joy just kind of boom, it's like God flips a switch. I mean, we've had some people get in here and say they got the Holy Ghost. Brother Parker and I looked at each other and said, I don't see the joy. And he goes, I don't either. And we knew it. And you know what? They didn't last. But there are some that come in here that you see. Brother Aaron, I've never seen the difference in the spectrum. I mean, he had the look on his face like he had just been beaten to a pulp. But whenever he fell on his face right here, and when he stood up, it was a completely different man. There was a joy on him that you could not deny. If I would have been deaf and just been able to watch and just see his change, it's because he was relentless. But you know what? God is relentless. God is so relentless that he wouldn't let him get to this place right here. He dropped him right there on his knees. We are so accustomed to having everything pat, having everything just the way it is. Brother Dustin, I guarantee every single one of you, and I did too, thought that, you know what, I got up here and was looking for some songs, and God would not give me one. God wouldn't give me a song. It was like my mind was a slick surface, and any thought that I tried to have of a song would just hit and slide right off, and I could not hold. I mean, I tried to think of the song that I was going to start off with 5 or 6 times, and I couldn't do it. Because God did not want me to sing before service. And He allowed us to be sensitive enough to follow after His Spirit. And we are so accustomed to having everything. We got a song before service, and then we're going to have some worship service. And man, we're going to feel Him as strong as we can in that worship service. But you know what? There are times that the only way you're going to get your answer is if you approach it from a completely different direction. I didn't understand why the people of Nazareth did not accept Jesus. He was a great man. He was a kind man. He was not somebody who was abrasive. They should have wrapped their arms around him because he was one of their own. But I didn't understand why they rejected him until I entered it, answered the question from a completely different way. And that's why sometimes we have to approach God. Sister Jennifer, a long time ago you asked me, how in the world do you worship like you do? Do you remember asking me that question? Right in Mom and Dad's front room. And I told you, because I try to approach God differently every time. I try to approach God with openness. I don't say, you know what, I'm going to get down here, I'm going to dance for a little while, and then after a while, man, God's just going to fall on me. And you know what? That formula works a lot. But I told her, I said, you know, I tried to approach God. The very next service, Sister Jennifer, I think that they had to pick your bobby pins up off the floor. Because she learned to approach God not in the standard way. Now we have ways to approach Him. But there's a whole spectrum in the way it happens. And God will touch us because God is relentless. When He has picked the child, He will not let you go. Brother Aaron, after you had your contact with Brother Brian and them, God didn't let you go 1 second, did He? It was like He was just Chinese water torture. Boonk. 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 When you thought you were just about to get away from it and you were going to have a little bit of peace of mind, God goes, boop. God's relentless. When He's chosen somebody, and whenever they've opened Himself up to God, He's relentless. No, and thing is, though, He can run a whole lot farther than 350 miles. With us, He'll go us to the end of the world. That's a little bit farther than 350 miles. Because God's relentless. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. And the other one says, with God, nothing is impossible. I like the way that starts. You would think that nothing is impossible with God, because God was thinking, you know, maybe they'll just listen to the front of that scripture and not listen to the end of it. So he put the good stuff. He was like the opposite of, well, but he put it in the front. So with God, just so you knew who you were with, nothing is impossible.